Good morning. Welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our pastor, Reverend David Riley, and is titled, You Have Everything You Need. It's based on the epistle lesson from Colossians chapter 2. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
Good morning. It's a joy and delight to welcome you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this day. I invite you to stand as we sing our opening hymn, number 596.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 to 33. Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet, because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the Gospel of the Lord. A brief announcement before we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
Let us pray. May the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. In his introduction to Christian history class, a certain college professor once offered his students an automatic A. He also promised to excuse them from attending any of his lectures or taking any of his exams. Well, what was the catch? All you had to do was cite some major false teaching that was not promoted by someone in the first 600 years of the Christian church's existence. So, guess what? Nobody was exempted from the lectures. And to be sure, the false ideas confronting the Christians living in Colossae might not exactly be the same ones that are tormenting you and I today. But the Apostle Paul's answer to these problems uncovers a great truth for whatever other false ideas you and I may face as believers right now. In Jesus Christ, you have everything that God has to give, so that you will let nothing entice you away. Some years ago, a television commercial depicted a husband and wife, obviously empty nesters, sitting at the breakfast table. According to their daily routine, the woman was reading a magazine while her husband was buried in the morning newspaper. And then they took their first bite of new and improved Special K cereal. Well, they sat up, they were stunned, and immediately romantic music filled the air. And they put down their reading and they actually faced one another. And dumbfounded, the wife asked, "When did you go bald?" And her husband replied, "Oh, I think it was about 7 years ago." And then he wondered, "When did your hair go gray?" And she answered, "Oh, well, that was about 9 years ago." So obviously they were rediscovering each other thanks to the wonders of a new and improved breakfast cereal. Well, the treasures that you and I have in Jesus Christ and his good news are always there before us. Unfortunately, we let ourselves grow tired of them. It is a great thing when God's words, so rich and so full, have a chance to poke through so that we can put down our papers, put down our devices, and look at Jesus Christ straight in the face. You and I don't need anything new. We simply need to take a better look at the Lord that you and I already have. It is not as though the Corinthians in our epistle reading for today are hearing of Jesus Christ for the very first time. God intends for them to cling to their treasure, Jesus Christ. The apostle then proceeds to describe a twofold dimension in their relationship to Jesus. First, Christians are firmly rooted, not forsaking Him, it is truth. Jesus Christ is the root and the source of their life with God. And the Apostle Paul chooses to use a metaphor from the world of agriculture. Second, Christians should stretch outward and upward like a building project moving forward according to plan. Paul uses a second metaphor taken from the building and construction trade. Christians are constantly being built up by God according to a gracious and wise plan. How is that done? It is done through faith. He writes, being strengthened in the doctrine just as you have been taught. Since the Colossians have been well instructed in the faith, they have what they need to look away from themselves and to look always to Christ. Living out what they have learned will fill them with gratitude for what the Lord did in firmly rooting them and continuing to lead them. Paul doesn't teach us these things as simply idle talk over tea and cookies so that you and I will have a nice memento to store somewhere when the tea party is over. He wants you to understand that you are on the front line of a very real spiritual struggle. And believe me, there are some voices out there that would really like to trip you up. Our fellow Colossian believers were being directed to their own efforts and to some high-sounding self-denial, and also as a way to tap into the fullness of God. The philosophy being peddled to these Colossians seems to imagine that you and I, that we work our way up toward God through our wisdom, our self-denial, and so forth, rather than to receive fullness from God in what He has already given to us, namely, Christ crucified and raised from the dead. Because Jesus Christ has nothing to do with these self-made, man-made philosophies, they are empty, and they will never accomplish their goals. So anyone who claims otherwise is lying. But the lies are so captivating because they grow out of an appealing mindset that is very common in the world in which we live. It is very tempting to be satisfying with a quick mouthing of, well, Jesus loves me, or I love Jesus. It can be like admiring a pretty package with the label Jesus affixed to it. Today, the Apostle Paul wants you and me to unwrap that package and to take a good, hard look at everything inside. So I invite you to open your eyes wide to the depths of your treasure, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have all of God's fullness in this one who lived in the flesh, died on a cross, and was raised again. His fullness fulfilled you. He made you complete. That is only possible because of what He did then and what He is still doing today. We receive His fullness and His completeness by grace through faith. Paul says that you and I need absolutely nothing else other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is more than just a good and simple Jewish teacher. He is everything you and I need. He is the real force in this world and beyond. He also lacks nothing of the divine. The true God actually lives in a human body. As true God, He reigns supreme over every angel and over every demon. Angels and demons have nothing to offer humankind because Christ has already offered you and me everything that we need for life and eternal salvation. In Jesus Christ, you and I are completely fulfilled. Every single spiritual need is satisfied. Christ is the head of all created power. Christ, who is both God and man, is Lord of creation and redemption. Everything is subject to Him. He has created you. He has redeemed you. Nothing can hurt you. So let no one ever tell you that you are not a completed Christian. You realize it when you are brought to faith. Paul emphatically states this when he writes, "You have come to fullness of life in Him." How does that fullness of Christ come to humankind? It comes through circumcision done by Christ. In your baptism, Jesus Christ circumcised you in a way that tackles your whole sinful nature, not merely a small part of the human body. While certain Jewish voices boasted of circumcision as one way that we can make a sacrifice and begin freeing ourselves from the chains of this world, the Apostle Paul calls the old circumcision trivial compared to the profound inner circumcision that Jesus Christ accomplishes. The old circumcision removed part of the body. The crucified and risen Christ can tackle our whole sinful nature. Christ forgives and frees us from being controlled by sinful desires now and by eternal death in the end. As Christ died to sin, so in baptism, sin is destroyed. As Christ rose, so in baptism, a resurrection to a new life of faith takes place. Baptism gives each person a new life of faith, which believes that Jesus Christ was given over to death for our sins, that He was raised for our justification. These treasures are there for everyone who is united to Jesus' death, and this union is given to each one of us personally in the baptism that brings us into fellowship with Jesus Christ. At the same time, the God who raised Jesus unites us with the risen one through faith in Him. Jesus also canceled the debt that was crushing us due to our constant breaking of His law. Paul shows the Colossians what a great thing Jesus does by recalling their personal past history. Their guilt and sin had made them spiritually dead. They were uncircumcised, not only in body, but in their entire nature. Therefore, they were not numbered among God's people. But God made them alive, first of all, by bringing Jesus Christ alive in His resurrection. And then He extended Christ's resurrection life to them by forgiving them their guilt and sin. God's forgiveness canceled the death sentence that stood over them because they had broken His law. The law's regulations come down hard on sinners, but Christ let our record of spiritual death be nailed to the cross, where He died for all of us. Thus, His death became our way of life. Jesus Christ has the last word over any spiritual powers trying to bring you down. Any spiritual powers that might demand the condemnation of Christ's people because of their breaking of the law has now been neutralized. The will of the crucified one destroys their will. Remember these words from Revelation chapter 12. "Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a historical event confirmed by many witnesses, as well as by his victorious descent into hell, God shows definitively that condemning spirits do not have their way with us. Paul lists for the Colossians what the God made human flesh, Jesus Christ, has brought them. Their guilt is forgiven. The law's crushing sentence is lifted off of them. Any hostile spiritual powers are stopped from condemning them. And what would they expect to find from some other secret new way, some other appealing philosophy? Dear friends in Christ, I hope that this morning you understand where the ammunition lies for battling so many false ideas and empty promises making the rounds these days. We have every spiritual victory. We have every spiritual blessing. We have everything that we need. And now may the grace and mercy of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
We remain standing as we sing closing hymn number 825.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.
Thank you.
peace and joy of Christ. Amen.